I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. It's the news I have been promising, and I can finally share it with you. And it almost feels so odd to be sharing this news during this time of the world, but it's like such an incredible time to be the you that you want to be. And so I am stoked to finally tell you guys that I have empowered a motivational journal for women coming out June. And guys, let me tell you, it is full of thought-provoking prompts that encourage and empower you to dig deep and cultivate positive change. It's motivational. It's got tons of inspirational quotes and plenty of pages to write and a gorgeous design with illustrations. And I am so proud of it. It totally puts into practice everything that I did to see the dream of being traditionally published with an international book to fruition. And I know that so many of these prompts have had wild success with my clients, and I'm so excited to finally share this with you. And you can pre-order it today. Ah, I can't believe it's like really happening. And I put the link in the show notes. Check it out. Today I have Corby Mitlide, and she is a top US psychic and author, a medium. We talk, I'm just going to admit it. I get a little crazy and ask her some questions I've had about some weird anomalies that have happened in my life. So we talk about angels and energy. And we also talk about how you can turn stress into a positive thing for your life. Such an awesome episode in light of the C word, COVID-19. Check it out. Corby, what a great time to have you on the Be You, Find Happy podcast. I'm so grateful that you're here. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We got to reach out and hold each other's hands at this point, even if it's only digitally.
Isn't that true? I'll tell you what, though. I am missing a good hug. I have some friends that give great hugs, and I'm really missing those.
For that, you grab your Maine Coon cat and just squeak them.
Well, we currently have a toy poodle with two broken legs. We also have a homestead full of other animals. So they've definitely been providing the physical touch component of life. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and all that you do in the wonderful world of psychic and inspiration and all the cool things you're doing?
Okay, let me see if I can give you what everyone knows as the 30-second elevator speech. When I was 9, I read a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes, and instead of thinking, ooh, that's scary, or ha, 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 I thought, and your point is, I knew there was magic in the world, and I wanted to go find it. Fast forward to 1973, when I was a senior in high school, working part-time at Spencer Gifts, and they had the James Bond 007 tarot deck, and I bought it. I mean, we were all hippies then. Fringe jackets, elephant bells, and decks. 5 years later, everyone else had moved on to disco balls and roller skates, and I was still reading because the cards fascinated me, and I loved the stories they could tell. So did that for friends for 20 years. All of a sudden, in 1994, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. That's when the universe said, hello, here's your draft notice. You're working for us. I did it part-time.
That is crazy. I mean, were you scared when this whole thing first happened? Were you fearful?
I was nonplussed, but at that time it was only part-time, and I've done a lot of jobs: actress, author, inspirational speaker, legal assistant, video producer, executive recruiter. It was just another job. But when my husband and I watched the towers burn on 9/11, I turned to him and said, I have to do the psychic work full time. People will need to know there are other answers out there. And he looked at me and said, I believe in you. Go do it. So for a year, worked 70 hours a week as an executive recruiter, this evenings and weekends to make sure I could make a living at it. 2002, I said goodbye to corporate life and have never looked back.
I love it. I love it for a couple of reasons. One, I don't think we have ever had a medium on this podcast yet. And at least not that I knew that they were mediums. We've certainly had some really incredible metaphysical people. But two, I love that you just decided that you knew what you needed to do and it wasn't traditional, but you were called and you went. I love that. I love that you did that. You have a lot of cool things that I'm excited to ask you about. But the first one that I really want to tap into because of the state of the union right now is you talk about how stress can be a friend and a teacher.
That's right.
Help
It's
me
because
understand that. I love that idea and I have my own thoughts on it, but I want to hear from you.
well, a lot of people just he hear the word stress and think, ugh, terrible. But there is actually something called good stress, and that's eustress, eustress. Now, what's that? That's when you're about ready to go on stage and you're really excited. That's when you're about to run a race and you're ready to rock and roll. It's all the things where you're lighting the rocket pack on your back. Bad stress, which is what we're all used to now, is a very different thing. Bad stress is things like you can't sleep, you have body aches that never seem to quit, your get up and go, got up and went. And what causes it are things like when you second guess yourself all the time, trying to figure out every angle of a situation, when you never feel you're good enough, when you obsess over situations that aren't even there yet, when you just feel like it'll never get good, and so you keep working from fear rather than, this is me, what can I grab? How can I make it work?
I like that. I like that you describe the stress, and I never have really thought about that before, but there is that kind of nervous anxiousness that happens like right before you run a race or something like that. That's not bad. It's like you're flooded with good juices, but then you're also concerned or have some fear or whatever. So I really like how you kind of separated that. And I haven't really thought about that like that. So how can people create more of the good juice stress than the bad juice stress?
Well, what you need to do, first of all, a lot of people know the expression fear equals false evidence appearing real. I have a secondary. Fame equals full acceptance means everything. If you accept this is the way it is, baby, and how am I going to work with it, then you stop running away from it and you run toward it. Just put up a YouTube video that explains that, especially in terms of what's going on now, which I simply call the big bug adventure, so it doesn't get into the whole coronavirus scary word thing. So fame would be doing things like seeing if you could bake for a neighbor, if there's an elderly person, letting them do your grocery shopping. If you are the elderly person, I mean, I'm 65, allowing someone else to help you by doing the grocery shopping. By understanding that this can change the world in good ways. Because we are squirrels. We are hamsters on the habit trail wheel that are always doing, 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 doing. And now we've had to get off the wheel and sit our furry little butts down in the cedar shavings. So looking at the world, you can be aware of what you do because you're not in the middle of doing it. So that's an example of how, you know, I did my work this way. It was stressful. I guess I don't have to do it that way anymore. I kept worrying about this thing happening. It's not happening right now. Look at all the energy I have. How do I want to keep that good energy? This is our time of not being the turtle getting in the shell and hunkering down, but looking at the world, seeing how immediately it has changed, not only in your own backyard, but globally, and deciding what part of that do I want to keep when the big bug adventure is over.
I love that. I think a lot of people are
going one way or the other. And I actually recently did a webinar on resiliency, and that's exactly what we talked about is, you know, there's so much opportunity right now to create what you want to create, and such a great excuse to do so. And yet so many people are allowing themselves to buy into the fear and the negativity. And so I really like the idea that you don't have to do that. And there's so much that you can do to help others right now. And then that is one way to kind of reduce your stress, refocus. Mm-hmm. I love that.
But, you know, I'm going to bring up one more thing. There is a meme going around. If you have always said you were going to do this and going to do that and going to do the other, and you just didn't have time, and you're not doing it now, it means you're not right. No. Stop thinking that you have to fill this pause with doing all the things that were important when we were all busy. Now is when you are allowed to look at everything and decide to keep, switch, or dump it.
You know, that's a good point, is that this can also be a time for a hibernation in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That is true. I mean, it's funny because I, when this whole thing started, I had ironically already purchased this 90-day intention journal.
Mm-hmm.
And it came like right before we got put on lockdown in California. And I wrote this list of things that I wanted to get done. And then I re-looked at them and I was like, but what really do I need to get done? Like, there is an opportunity here to spend time laying in the fort that my son and I built in his bedroom, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a little more important to me than, you know, staying on top of the laundry for every second of the day or something like that.
Yes.
Although I will say, I did slay everything on my list. I literally slayed everything on my list. I mean, I have a handful of things that I need to go a little deeper on, but I was amazed at how slowing down allowed so much space for really getting things, you know, done that I wanted to get done in my life, for inviting the things that I had really good excuses not to do before. Mm-hmm. Like love more, play more, enjoy my yard more, you know, things like that, like the good stuff. You talk about a soul plan.
Mm-hmm.
What is a soul plan? What is that?
All right. This is the wonderful, wonderful work I got to do with Robert Schwartz in his two books, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. And it talks about our pre-birth plans. The main thing to realize is, yes, we have certain things we want to learn when we come down here. But the mistake most people make is karma is bad or good, carrot and stick. And it isn't. Karma is actually five things. Unbalanced energy, which is a neutral. Maybe this time you were a caretaker for your child who had shaken baby syndrome. And after the two of you cross over and you're discussing your experiences, you say, you had such grace being stuck in your wheelchair your entire life. I need to see what that's like. And your child says, and I'm willing to be the one who cares for you the way you lovingly cared for me. So you may come in and at age 18 have an accident that makes you a paraplegic, and the child comes in as your parent and takes care of you that way. Notice there, it's not that you were bad so you had an accident. This was conscious choice by your soul to see what it was like with different energy. So that's one. You've got service. You've got healing. You've got contrast. If you want to learn about abundance, you have to be one life rich and one life poor. And healing of beliefs. That's why when I had cancer three times, it wasn't because I was bad. It was because my pre-birth plan was most of the time I'm male, most lives, and I needed to learn what it was like to be in a female life this time. And I also had to learn that a female body is not a bargaining chip, but a whole human being. So that's how all that happened. And actually, I'm in Rob's book, first book in the physical illness chapter. My name the book is Doris there. So you could see how I was as a client and how I was as the channel. I'm the only one that's ever been in his books on both sides of the fence. So people then say, well, what about free will? You're saying we don't have free will? No, you have both a pre-birth plan and free will. Here's how you think of it. Your pre-birth plan is your major. You go to Brown University and you decide you're going to be an electrical engineer. Boom. Whether you take gut course or you do double major plus lab, that's your free will. If when I was a child, I had lived my life in a certain way, seen relationships between men and women in a certain way, I probably would have gotten married once, had a very pleasant life. That would have been gut course. Instead, I went through hell and high water for several decades, and I took double major plus lab. But with either life, I will graduate with the karmic learning I need to in this existence. That's how you have both.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about this YouTube video that I just watched by Matt Kahn. Are you familiar with him?
Heard of, it's, but don't really know. Tell me.
Oh, it's on twin flames and soulmates and soul contracts. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's stupid good. It's like an hour long, but he's like, just know that you chose this ex that you hate. Yeah, you needed to learn something from this ex that you hate. And
yes.
I love it. Like I just loved the idea that all of the turmoil in our relationships, and not romantic always, all of our relationships is because there's something we need to do. There's something we need to learn. And I loved that idea that you know, I just feel like in general, when I look at things in my life as divine, it feels so much better in my belly.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything that happens
is divine.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how he explains it. The way I've always seen soulmates versus twin flames, you got more than one soulmate in this life, kids. They are our core team. Is that how he sees it, or he sees it as only one?
No, that he says there's more than one. And he even says that a twin flame can become a soulmate. So if the two souls converge in such a way, he says it's very rare. But if they converge in such a way that they both do their growings in a parallel way, then they can become soulmates in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way I explain it to people, because they think you're supposed to marry soulmates. No, my father was my best friend. He was a soulmate. My current husband, yes. My last one, no. The woman who was my spiritual mentor for 25 years, then we went our separate ways for quite some time. So was she. Soulmates are working partners. Twin flames are very rare and very special.
I like that. It's so good. It's just so good. So, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that there are angels walking the earth that are, that manifest in real human form?
Yes. I call them half wings.
I want to tell you this crazy story. And this is why I'm bringing this up. So, I had this crazy thing where I was not supposed to be on this trail. Like my mom and I were hiking with my son and we were going to go on a different trail, totally different location, different time. Ended up meeting this person on this trail. And his name was Ronan, and he had this lengthy conversation with us, but he was like very curious about, in not in a weird, creepy way, but just curious about how my son was doing in life and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, my son at the time was like six and he was hiking with us. Well, then, you know how the iPhone does visual voicemail?
Yes.
Like 6 months later or 8 months later, my mother-in-law leaves me a voicemail. Nowhere in this voicemail does she say the word Ronan at all or anything that even sounds like Ronan. But she's talking about my son. And when the iPhone, and I never put this name in my phone or anything like that. And when it translated her voicemail, it put the word Ronan in the visual voicemail. And I was like, that's weird. And it's such a unique name. It's not a common name. So then fast forward like a year later, and my son and I are in a totally different place on a bridge overlooking this great view. And out of nowhere walks up Ronan. I mean, it is the weirdest thing. And I said, he's got to be like your angel son. I mean, it's so weird. Like he keeps appearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but wonder if he's not like some half angel, half human. I know this sounds totally like Space Cadet, but I mean, no. It is weird.
What do I do for a living? Why would you think it sounds like a Space Cadet? Come on. there are people that I call halfwings that are human souls, but are also, if you will, housing other. It's why there are some people that come down ET. If you've ever seen the movie Powder, that's a perfect example of other. I'm human, baby. I'm human. I've always been human. I love the experience, mostly. There are some people that see Earth as a foreign exchange planet. It's where the tough stuff is. And when I wrote years ago for a great graphic novel series called ElfQuest, a lot of the fans there would come up to us almost with tears in their eyes about, you understand me, you get me, I don't feel like I belong here. And that's where I learned to have someone close their eyes and I say two words to them, human, other. And if they are other, their eyes pop open and the look of gratitude is thank you, thank you, thank you. They are not all human. There are parts of them that are either from another planet, another dimension, another vibration, and they're learning about us here. Ronan, to me, was clearly a high-level guide, or maybe he was a big wing, an angel, and shows up when needed. That's what crazy. They do for us.
But I mean, they're not. It's so weird. It's like there wasn't anything spectacular happening at the time, but I feel like he was checking in on my son.
Yes, probably because it was his. The way I explain angels versus spirit guides, angels are with us from birth to death. We all have at least one. We're not smart enough to get out of here without them. And they have our names in the back of their tunics like little camp tags, you know, I belong to Johnny. Spirit guides grow and change as we do, like teachers. So the spirit guide that your son may have now could be different when he's 35, if he's on a different learning path. But the angel is always there. Ronan's his dude, and Ronan will always be around.
It's wild. That is wild. So one more crazy story, just because it's so neat to have you on. the other day, this is like yesterday or the day before, we're sitting on the deck, and I told you I live, you know, in Northern California, surrounded by the pine trees, real rural. And you can see like in the distant mountains, we have a great view. In the distant mountains, you could see that it was kind of like maybe a little, I'm not going to say foggy, but just kind of haze, whatever. But I could kind of feel a little moisture. And I'm clarifying this because it was a trip so much that I have to kind of normalize it in some way. And I'm sitting on the deck and I said to my husband and son, I said, do you guys see what I'm seeing? Like if you look just right past the deck, do you see like, it looks like we're on Space Mountain at Disneyland. Like it's almost like particles zooming through the air. And my husband says, well, I see like little gnats or something that are, and I'm like, no, this is like trillions of like little tiny somethings flying through the air, like all sporadic, crazy ways, like super highways. And he's like, oh, okay, what did you smoke?
Huge.
No, I said, you know, I said, no, I literally, I'm telling you, I think I'm about to die or something because I'm seeing these super highways of what is like looking like energy or something. And then he kind of justified it by saying, you see the mountain over there with the kind of, you know, you can kind of feel the moisture. He goes, what you see far away over there is what we're sitting in now. So I think you're just hyper seeing like the moisture in the air or something. But I don't know. It looks like energy moving through the air. I mean, it was a trip. Is that possible?
Yes. Look at, you know, Star Trek Discovery. They talk about spore drive. They talk about the mycelial network throughout the universe. I'm not saying that the world is skipping around on a mushroom trail, but I am saying that energy, vibe like that, makes complete and perfect sense. If there is nothing that is really solid, it's quantum physics, everything is made up of vibration and light and there's space between, why would we not see the energy alongside what we perceive as solid? To me, that only makes sense.
Yeah, I was kind of scared by it. Like it was kind of like, what is happening to my eyes? And then once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't look away from it. It was weird. I thought for sure
perfect
I was dying
sense.
Or something.
No, perfect sense.
So then it really creeped me out thinking, wow, anybody that I am energetically connected to, I could be instantly energetically connected to through these superhighways of energy that's flying through the air so rapidly.
Exactly. I mean, think about Kirlian photography. All right, that's where you can see the swirls of energy and color and electricity emanating off your hand or something like that. You're just seeing a bigger idea about it when you see the highway. Why would Kirlian energy stop?
I have had some crazy Qigong experiences for sure, in the way of like feeling like I was holding something between my hands when doing Qigong, like in a classroom setting and stuff. So there's definitely got to be something to it. But yeah, I think you're right. Why couldn't I see it like that? And
Exactly
maybe the
so.
cloud, maybe the sky or something was just right that it could, I don't know. Yeah, it was odd. But what was weird is that my husband and my son didn't see it. So then I thought, I'm losing my mind. There's certain, and anybody listening to this podcast could be like, okay, Michaela's gone on a trip. She's gone.
Nope, but I'm going to warn you not to be a sweater puller.
What's that?
When we're kids and we have a sweater and there's this little piece of yarn and our mother says, "Don't pull that," and we pull it until we unravel the sweater and we just have this big ball of yarn. Well, constantly trying to look at it and figure it out and was this right and what you're pulling the sweater. Just
Okay.
love it and
Just let
say
it be.
thank you and I'd love to have it happen again. Blink, blink. And the universe goes, "Oh yeah, sure."
I like that. That's what I'm gonna. I'm not gonna pull the sweater. I'm just gonna let it roll.
Good.
I will see what continues to unfold here. So I had a numerologist on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. And I made the mistake of thinking I was a master life path of six, but it's actually I'm a 3-3. So when she did my reading, she's like, this was after the podcast came out. She's like, no, you're a 3-3. This is and on this life journey, I'm also a 22-4. So this is my last one. Which is, it was kind of this weird moment of the 22-4 is a master teacher. And then I felt like this sudden, like, wow, I have a lot to do. But then I was like, no, I don't. I'm doing exactly, it's just happening how it's supposed to happen. Just let it roll. Don't stress about it. Don't have the bad juice stress.
And remember also that time is not a line, it's a web. So this life you're working on may be the last life in terms of linear, but you may decide, I want to go back to about 1754 and see what was happening in the revolution and be a guy. Boom, there you are. Because again, everything happens simultaneously.
I had my the Akashic records read. I had that done, and it was wild. The stories from the past. It was really cool though. I really enjoyed it and it was very insightful. I thought that was a great thing. Do you do the Akashic record readings?
Well, the Akashic Record readings is how I do a soul plan, which is actually one that I'm working on today. When you come to me and you say, "This is my life challenge," for the woman today, it's Cinderella Complex. What I do is, yes, I do your numerology, but then I go upstairs and look in your library and look specifically for the lives that are affecting you this time. People say, "Why don't I remember my past lives?" Because we have hundreds. And if you wanted to go see all your past lives, you'd sit out, like you're always watching movies. You're supposed to be living now. So, a perfect example, when I was lecturing at Lilydale, which is a very cool spiritualist community in New York, I was there with Rob a few years back, and a woman raises her hand and says, "Why am I so freaked out with wet hair in my face?" And her hair was butch short. So, the way mediums and galleries can immediately pull down your dead people, I can tend to pull down past lives. So it took me about 5 seconds, and I looked at her and I said, five-syllable answer, Lusitania. In 1915, you were one of the passengers on the ship, which was torpedoed by the Germans. You had not bobbed your hair
What?
yet. You still had the massive Edwardian. So a lot more hair took on a lot more water. It also caught debris and pulled you down and you drowned. And she looked at me and she says, "Is that why I'm afraid to get on a boat?" I said, "Probably." That's
What?
the kind of work That's that, you know, if someone says, well, just tell me my past lives. No, no, I'm not a carnival. You know, you're not going to get a purple stuffed unicorn if I tell you a past life. I will do that work if you need it. Otherwise, look at what you're doing now. Find your sentence of passion. Decide how you want to live your life. This is what's important.
So true. We do kind of have to focus on the here and now too. I think that's so important. We get lost in that. You say, you have a quote. It says, if you want clarity, then surround yourself with people and things that will cultivate that, not dissipate. Can you share what that means with me?
Sure. When someone really knows what they're here to do or they really have a dream, then they are always excited. They are always looking for that opportunity. They're always reaching to see how they can make a difference in the world. The ones that I warn you about, I don't know if you or your listeners saw the movie Up with the old guy that had the house with all the balloons that took off, and there was this magic dog named Doug, and he had a collar that let him talk, and he'd be that squirrel.
Squirrel.
Yep. And that's it. I mean, people who don't have the ability to focus on what's good, on what they love, then they're not clear, and they're not going to help you in staying clear. When you're clear is when you move forward.
Oh, wow. So what happens with the people that aren't willing to come along with you?
Blessings on your journey. And off I go. You know, I'm not, as I often say, I'm not saying my aura don't stink, but what I am saying is this is my life. This is what I want to do. So if you want to either join me on my fun road or at least watch and cheer me on and maybe ask questions, great. But if you tell me that what I'm believing is wrong, that how I'm viewing something is wrong, blessings on your journey, kids. I know who I am. I know what I want to do. I am absolutely here to help you if you want to find out what you're supposed to do. But even the best of us is only 85% accurate. The only one 100% accurate is God, and he's not doing private readings these days. And I am not going to, you know, either hit you over the head telling you you're wrong or accept from you that I'm wrong. That's the difference. Now, you may not want to be a psychic. What you may want to do is open up the best and most cool vintage vinyl recording store in Northern California. Cool. Why are we still on the same path? Because both of us are gleeful seeing what we can do and are having fun doing it. And what we do helps others, doesn't harm them. Simple rules.
So we would be remiss if we didn't talk about cleaning out your life closet, the book that you wrote.
Okay.
It's on clarity as the canvas for painting a new life story. Tell me a little about cleaning out your life closet and how people do that.
When I wanted to write this book, I put out to my clients, what are the things you really, really always stumble over? And they came up with four things. They came up with living life clearly, how to live simply, how to go with the flow, and how to make friends with stress. So cleaning out your life closet has the idea of you're looking at what doesn't fit anymore, what's busted, what was never you in the first place. You know, if you still have guilt because your father wanted you to be a lawyer and you can't stand lawyers and you love your current career, that's out of the life closet. And there's even a chapter in the book, What to Do When You Lighten Your Load. And we talk about getting rid of physical things and mental things and emotional things and spiritual things. Because it's one thing to say, yeah, I'm done with them, but then get them out of your life. The universe will happily fill your closet full of neat stuff once you empty it out.
Does sometimes the universe empty people's life closets for them if they don't get on that quick enough?
Well, especially going with numerology, if you're in a 9-year, our lives go in 9-year cycles. How do you figure out where your cycle is? You take your month and day, Mine is March 8th, so that's 3-8, which is 11. This year's master number is 4. 4 plus 0 plus, or 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 0 is 4. 11 plus 4 is 15. 1 plus 5 is 6. See, numerology is easy. So for this year, it's a 6-year for me, which is all about the emotions and family and things like that. When you're in a 9-year, that's your celestial garage sale, when you get to look at everything in your life and keep it, fix it, or toss it. New Year's Eve, God takes your Etch-a-Sketch and clears it. The following year is a 1-year where you need to do fresh energy. So, for instance, 2 years ago, I was still a road warrior. I was 45 weekends a year on the road, rocking and rolling and loving it. But all of a sudden, a lot of shows started to go away, tank, whatever. And so, grumblingly, I had to shift my business more online. And then last year in June, July, I got a herniated disc and pinched nerves. And baby, that makes having triplets like a tea party. Agony.
Yeah. I'm an L5S1.
Right. Bingo. You saw it. So, the doctor, I did come back, but he said, all right, that's it. You're off the road. You can no longer do the load in, load out, and you really shouldn't be in the car more than two and a half hours at once. So all of a sudden, the career that I had built since 9/11, boom, gone. But because I had been shoved over to almost completely digital by the universe, guess who is sitting pretty now that we're all in lockdown from the big bug adventure? The universe doesn't do grishas. Grisha is a Yiddish word. It means you stick in the knife and you twist it to make sure it's in there good. The universe knows what we need and says, will you trust me and stop having a tantrum? And if we look at it that way, generally we'll see why things are happening. Even with a big bug adventure, we've been really, 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 really stupid and greedy and materialistic. And so the universe is saying, you need a big 2x4 upside the head. Boom. People who think we're going to go back to what we had before are really going to hurt, because we won't. People who are sitting here saying, how do I want to make myself new? How do I want to live new? Can I be open to all the changes and make them work for me? They're going to have an easier time, because they have accepted that the universe is cleaning out our closets as well as cleaning our clocks. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Unbelievable. And so, I mean, I'm just thinking about a friend of mine who's had just a couple of really bad things in her life. Like, I mean, I'm talking like most people don't get one of these things in their lifetime, and she got like three bad, like awful, awful things. And, you know, I often like wonder, just kind of spiritually for myself, like, why did she have to have so many bad things in a row? Painful things in a row, I should say. And I'm hopeful for her that, you know, that she's through that. And when I read about cleaning out your life closet, I couldn't help but wonder if it wasn't something for her where she had like stuff that needed to just be, you know, expunged or something to make way for the next thing for her.
It might be, again, double major plus lab. I mean, I've had 3 bouts of breast cancer, 2 divorces, bankrupt once from the cancer. So you would think, oh my God, such a horrible life. But no, the magic word is next. You don't think that somebody is doing it to you. You don't think that the universe doesn't love you. You don't think this is not fair. How we look at things, a thing is a thing is a thing. How we choose to look at it is how it works. I learned this at a wonderful place called the Option Institute in Massachusetts. Here's the idea. It's raining. Fine. It's raining is a neutral. You got 3 situations. One is a guy at the beach, and he's rented a house for a week, and he's there with his 3 kids, and it's going to rain all week, and he's thinking, crap, what am I going to do with them? We can't go out in the rain. The farmers in Schoharie County have had a drought for 2 months. And they're looking at the rain. Me, I'm in my office working, and the cats are on the cat tree. I'm looking at the rain. The guy who is at the beach thinks the rain is bad. The farmers think the rain is fabulous, and I don't care. I'm writing. Now, If the guy at the beach says, you know what, I have been wanting to show my kids the Marx Brothers movies, I guess this is when we're going to do it, and he introduces his kids to Groucho and Harco and Cheapo and Zeppo, and they have a great time. Or there's this one farmer in Schoharie who's pissing and moaning because he didn't want the rain this weekend. He was having a party. And I still don't care because I'm in my house. But the rain is the rain is the rain. How we choose to view something is how it affects us. Look at Matty Stepanek. He was that kid back in the 90s who died very young, but wrote the wonderful book called Heart Songs. Oprah loved him. He changed people's lives with how he was living with grace and his beautiful work. Look at Ryan White. Ryan White had a horrible experience as one of the very early AIDS victims, how his family was treated, how cruel people were. But all of a sudden, he becomes friends with Elton John, who was deep in alcohol and drugs at that point, but was so moved by Ryan's life and death that that's when he went to get sober. That's why he started the Elton John AIDS Foundation, which has raised $500 million. That's why he changed his life. So even if you are in pain, you have no idea how you may be making magic out there for someone else. Or you may be doing exactly what your soul needs to learn and to let go of old karmic challenges.
Mm. And you know, that is exactly what I've thought about some experiences in my life that were difficult, is that this is you know, I just recently said this on a podcast. It's not any one thing, but every one thing that leads us to where we're going in our life, the good and the bad, all mm-hmm. of it. And actually, I mean, I would even argue that the more painful stuff is the most positive growth and change. So I definitely agree with you 100%. I totally concur. And I love that. And I like that we can look at it that way and almost get a little relief, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing. Wow. Is there anything else that you want to share? Can you tell people where to pick up your book and how they can get in touch with you? Because you've got so much great stuff going on.
Oh, easy peasy. You can't avoid me, number one. You're going to find me on my website, corbymitlide.com. You'll find me on Facebook, Fire Through Spirit. You'll find me on both Instagram and Twitter, Corby Mitlide. If you like the books, right now, I'm going to suggest that you pick them up on Kindle if you can, because getting to the post office is a little hard. But both Clean Out Your Life Closet and my second book, The Psychic Yellow Brick Road, are both in paperback. If you like listening to audiobooks, Life Closet is in an audiobook form, which I did. There will be a new book coming out next month. It's kind of a niche, but if you have ever wanted to participate as a healer, a psychic, or a vendor at the big holistic expos, the new book is called You've Got the Magic, Who Needs a Genie? It's the A-Lister's Guide to Holistic Expo Success. And that'll be on Kindle too.
Love that. And I will put all that good stuff in the show notes. And I'm so excited for this episode. There's so much more stuff I'd love to talk with you about, but I think it'd scare all the listeners away. they would be like, oh, she's off the deep end.
That's okay. We still put on our jeans one leg at a time, both of us.
But I'm definitely not going to unravel my sweater. That's for sure. I'm going to live and let live and see what happens there.
Excellent.
I think these experiences are pretty cool, whether they're, you know, fabrications of my mind or reality. Although that's a pretty fine line between the difference anyway. So
mm-hmm. Yes, that is correct.
Oh, thanks, Corby, so much for coming on. What a great chat.
I've had a great time. Thanks for asking.
Take care.
You too.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.